bulletin, a worship guide, whatever they call it, where you're from. If you can, just pull that out and wave it at me, right, like this. Just wave it at me like this. All right, I see it. I see those handy bunch of Pentecostals. I love you already. This is good. This is good. And if you are our guest, on the back is what we call a connection card, and it just tears off like so. We would be honored if you just fill that out, tear it off, drop it in the offering plate as it goes by later in the service. We just want to have a record of your visit. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us. Just a couple announcements for you. One is tonight we're wrapping up and finishing our Next Gen Georgia Preaching Conference with Pastor Jeremy Morton, and he is just dynamic. You won't want to miss him. It's tonight at 6:30, and you make plans to come back, and let's finish this strong together this evening. And then lastly, we do have your Valentine's Day plans all set up for you with Johnny W. It's going to be a great night of laughter, of love, and we're just going to have a really, really good time. I hope that you join us for that special evening. You can sign up today, you can pay today, and we can make it all happen today. Those Valentine's Day plans could be all wrapped up in January, all right? That's a good head start. We're glad you're here. I am so thankful for Psalms 122. It says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Aren't you? Let's stand and let's worship our Lord this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Worship with us this morning. Sing this out. Water you turn.
Water you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. And into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you.
Sing it out. Our God is greater.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God,
sing that again.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God.
Sing this, into the darkness you shine.
And into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you.
Let me hear you sing this morning. Our God.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power.
Our God is greater.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God,
sing this, and if our God is for us,
and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against?
Sing it one more time. Sing, our God is greater.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is greater, Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God,
amen. We're so happy you're here this morning at Flat Creek. Step out and shake someone's hand around you. Sing, great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. And great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Sing it out this morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen.
God, great. Are you thankful today for God's greatness and his? We ought to be grateful for his greatness. And this is our time of corporate prayer. And you might want to slip out where you're standing right now and just come down to the front and kneel. Come ahead. We're going to be praying in a moment. And I know there are hearts here today that are burdened. There are families here that are hurting and broken. There are needs on every hand. But the Bible says nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? God can meet any need we have. And so you may want to kneel where you are there. You may want to be seated. But as we pray, you give thanks for His greatness in our thankfulness. Heavenly Father, in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we thank You for being an awesome God who loves us more than our minds can even comprehend, who gave Your Son to die in our place. Thank You, Lord, for dying for us, for me. And so today we come with hearts that are heavy. We pray for families that are hurting because of loss. But we thank You for the gain of those who've come to be with You. Thank You for the Brown family. Lord, we ask You to bless the Brown family. Be with the Richards family, and Joseph's going to be with You. Thank You, Lord. He was baptized just a few months ago right here in this place. We pray for the Jemerson family as they watch over Betty and wait for homecoming. We pray for Dan and Brenda Dudley. They're in the hospital as treatments are administered. Lord, we pray for every hurt that's present today, for every need that's being uttered. And we thank You that You care. We ask that You would help us to remember what our hearts have heard, what our ears have been blessed with over the last few weeks as Brother Josh has preached Your word to us. Thank You for letting us come. Lord, help us to be engaged and help us to grow. And Lord, we pray today that we'd each go as we hear from You. Thank You for Your great love for us. Now bless us as we lift our voices in praise and adoration. And help us to honor You with our lips, our life, and our love. Thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name we give You thanks. Amen.
As children are dismissed, stand and continue worshiping with us. Sing, "My Hope Is Built."
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Sing that again. My hope is built.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord. darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Sing it again. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, in Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Sing that again. Christ alone, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone. Sing this out. Faultless to stand before the throne, Christ alone and Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Sing that one more time. And Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Amen. Continue worshiping with us as we sing, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender. Forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. Sing it out. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender.
Us to reach out into our community, to reach out into our world, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. In fact, tomorrow we're going to Peachtree City, the Avenue. At 6 o'clock, we'll meet here and we'll go to the Avenue and we'll deliver. It's called Business Blast. We're going to go to different businesses and we're going to bring a bunch of goodies to them. We're going to share the love of Christ in a real practical way. And I hope and I pray that you can join us tomorrow right here at 6 o'clock. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is in the name of Jesus we thank you for the way that you have so richly blessed our lives. It is the joy of our heart to give back to you now. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful gifts you give us. But Lord, we pray as we give these gifts to you that you would use it for the advancement of your gospel here locally and globally. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. I just love to hear that choir sing, don't you? What a great blessing. Thank you so much, Pastor Dustin, choir, orchestra, and congregation. Y'all sounded so, so good. But baby doll, you look beautiful. I'm speaking to my wife. That was just a moment there. I'm so proud of that group and all that they do, and our sound team and audio team, and even our translation team. You may not be aware of this, but Miss Rosa has been back there, and she translates my sermons every week, and she's in the bride's room right now in the prayer room, translating to make it available in different languages. So grateful to God for her ministry here at Flat Creek as well. Well, if you have your copy of God's Word, you'd be opening up to Acts chapter 1. If you are with us and you don't have your copy of God's Word, you don't have the app on your phone, you can pull out that pew Bible in front of you, page 882. That's where we're going to be. And as you're finding that, let me remind you of a story of a real account of one of our missionary heroes, Jim Elliot. It was on January 2nd, 1956. It was a date and year that the 29-year-old Elliot, he had waited for this moment. He jumped out of bed. He dressed quickly as he could. He got out and ready for his short flight through the thick Ecuador jungle. For 3 years of jungle ministry, many hours of planning, praying, had led to this very moment, this very day. Within hours, he and four missionaries would be setting up camp in one of the most dangerous, uncivilized Indian tribes as the Aucas. The Aucas killed all the outsiders ever caught in their area, which ultimately led to the demise of Elliot and his friends as they were suddenly and brutally murdered by fierce Alka warriors. In Elliot's journal, you will read one of my favorite sentences, one of my favorite lines I think I've ever read of any missionary or theologian, and you find these words in his journal. Wherever you are, listen to this, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe that you're in the will of God. Wherever you are, be all there. Come from the hand of a missionary in the Ecuador jungle that lands on us today right here in Fayetteville, Georgia, as we talk about in 2018. Come, connect, grow, serve. Some of y'all looking at your bracelet. Go. Go. What we're talking about today is being all there. And throughout the pages of your scriptures, you'll find that God is actually a God on the move. He is a missional. You don't have to go far to find this. Brother Ryan, you can go to Genesis chapter 3, and you'll find God was in the business of creating everything that you and I see. He was slinging stars in the sky, Job tells us, and then he's creating Adam, and he's creating Eve, and everything was good, but when Eve was created, everything, right? He needed a helpmate. God brings along Eve. Now, some of y'all are looking over at your spouse. I won't tell you reactions up here, but it's good. He's creating Adam and Eve. And you know the account in Genesis chapter 3. The serpent deceives Eve. She takes a bite of the fruit, gives it to her husband. He takes a bite of the fruit, and for the first time in the world, sin enters into the picture. The shame, the guilt, they try to hide, right? They try to hide themselves. The first time they try to clothe themselves, they try to hide. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, some of my favorite verses in all of the Bible that absolutely prove to us that God is a missional God. When they try to hide themselves behind a tree, God comes to them. It says God came to them in the cool of the garden. And he said, "Yay, God, where are you? Where are you?" If you have a belief that God is some deistic God, that he just sat back on his throne and waited for the time tick, and just couldn't wait to zap somebody. That's the exact opposite of what God did. God came as a missional God. He came to them, came down off this earth, and he said, "Where are you?" God is an all-knowing God, is he not? He certainly knew where they were. He wanted a relationship. He wanted to pursue them in such a way. He came to them and said, "Where are you?" To desire this relationship, to desire this redemption. That's why he killed the animal, that he would clothe them with clothes. The blood was shed so they could be clothed. Isn't that so true to our lives spiritually? That Christ's blood was shed so that we, dear friends, can have the robes of righteousness wrapped around us. Well, you don't have to go far to find that God is a missional God. You can go to Genesis chapter 12. And we meet Abram, and Abram's speaking, and he promises him that he's going to be the father of multitude. He changed his name, as a matter of fact, to Abraham, which means father of multitude. And that he was going to go out, and he was going to bless other nations, and other nations were going to come to Israel, and that he was going to be the mouthpiece of God. You don't have to go far to see God as he moves through Abraham's life. You can find him in Isaiah. In Isaiah, you see God spoke through the prophet of Isaiah. You write this down in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. He says, "I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." He piggies off of Isaiah, and Jeremiah communicates the same thing in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17, at the same time. "Jerusalem shall be called the throne of God, and all nations shall gather to it in the presence of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they shall no more stubbornly follow their own evil heart." I'm trying to show you that the very nature of our God is a missional God, and we see that in no greater person than the life of Jonah, don't we? Jonah trying to run from God. God gets a hold of the rebellious spirit of Jonah. He says, "I want you to go and preach to the people of the Ninevites." And he preaches one sermon to one city, and they get saved. God, it'll be one of the greatest revivals that we'll ever see in the Old Testament right there. As thousands of lives are saved that day as they call upon the name of the Lord, as God spoke through Jonah, he speaks through Daniel as well. He creates a missional purpose through the life of Daniel as he was a light in a dark empire. All through the Old Testament, we see this reoccurring fact of the Messio day, that God is on the go. In the New Testament, God demonstrates himself as the great missionary of all. He came down the stairway of stars, wrapped himself in flesh, dear friends, and he went to that brutal cross for you and for I, absorbed all of the wrath of God. He gets buried in a tomb, and up 3 days later, he arises. Dear friend, he is a missional God. He was on pursuit for our lives, and I'm here to tell you, dear friends, that he is a missional God. It's in his nature. He deploys out disciples. He tells the disciples in Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go therefore, teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." He says, "Go." And then the letters of Mark and John, they proclaim the good news of Christ, that he is risen from the grave. Mark's gospel focuses on Jesus' power. John's gospel focuses on the picture of Jesus sent one. You just mark this down in your notes. In John chapter 1, verse 1, we see Jesus as the sent one. In John chapter 1, verse 18, he came from the Father. Jesus is a missional God. We land in Acts 1, verses 6 through 8. So important for us to understand that this is so baked into the character and nature of our God, that he is missional. In Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, the Word of God says this: "For when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority.'" Verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Let's bow together. Father, it's in the name of Christ that I pray and I ask He'd speak to our hearts this morning. Through your word, would you pierce our hearts to leave this place with a deeper hunger and desire to be obedient to you, to serve you, to reach our families, our community, and go to the world and tell them that you are out of the grave. We praise you. We thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. There has to be some questioning in the minds of the disciples. In fact, chapter 1, verse 3, you kind of get a glimpse of this when they're walking with Jesus for 40 days, to whom he was presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, speaking of things to the kingdom of God. In verse 6, in verse 7, we see, Lord, is now the time you're going to set up your kingdom? Lord, is now the time you're going to set, is now the time that you're going to set up? And of course, he was referring to a different way in which they may anticipate how he was going to set up the kingdom. I love when he speaks to, it's not for the times or seasons that we know, but the Father has put them in his own authority. Can we just push stop and pause for a second? I feel it's important for me to warn you of those setting dates and even warn you of following those who set dates. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 9. You remember that book in 1988? 88 Reasons Why Jesus Was Coming Back? And then 88 Reasons Why It Didn't Happen, right? We're waiting for the Lord's return. The call is to be ready, but write down Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The Lord our God has secrets known before them, the scripture says. But we, our children, are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. You can go on and write down Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, when it says, however, no one knows the day or hour when these things happen, for the Son himself, only the Father knows. I warn you of following those who set dates. The key verse in this entire book of Acts is wrapped around Acts 1:8. And I just want to kind of unpack this for us real briefly in the time we just unfold to see what we find. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I want you to first to note this morning God's missionary power. I want you to note God's missionary power. Jesus left his disciples. One of the greatest promises he gave us, when the Holy Spirit on you. God has given each one of us the supernatural dynamic power to carry out the work of missions here in our own community and abroad. It's not a program, but power. The Greek word is where we get the word dynamic from, better translated. Dynamic power. Well, where does this come from? This power doesn't come from a buzz. This power doesn't come from some kind of explosion of noise or hum or this power needs no props. This power needs no coffee to get it going in the morning. This power doesn't come probably what you ate before. You see, this our going is not dependent upon any personality or our personality. It's not dependent upon our persuasiveness. It's not dependent upon our position. It is entirely and completely dependent on the path that has available to him of the Holy Spirit of God, is to be a missionary witness wherever he is and wherever he goes, wherever she goes and wherever he is, wherever she is. The Holy Spirit is the power, and he lives in every believer and never runs out of dynamic power. The work of the Holy Spirit of God is simply wrapped up in a word, gumption. It's the power to stay in season and out of season and to keep at it and to keep going. The supernatural work of the Holy Spirit prompts us to go. While, a second, and I just encourage, don't you get discouraged in your witnessing and in your going. Some of you have been praying for people for many, many years. You've been witnessing to them and praying for them and sharing with them for years, and they haven't come around yet. Don't give up. Keep loving. You hang there, and God will use your dynamic witness to win others. I know some of you this morning, you've been praying for that lost husband, you've been praying for that lost wife, you've been praying for that lost child of yours. You keep praying and witnessing. I know some of you have been putting tracks in your husband's sandwiches in his car. Keep on doing it. God will use your witness. Our power comes from the Holy Spirit and from Him alone. He is the one who convicts people of their lost sin. I want you to hear me. It's not you or I. The face of every single one of you. I can get up here and tell you about our sin nature and how it leads us to, we are bad people and our hearts are so desperately wicked, none can even know it. That's what Jeremiah tells us. But not until the Holy Spirit of God reveals it in your soul, then all of a sudden it hits, I am a sinner. Not just we as sinners, but I am a sinner. I have broken God's law. I need some help. I've got a problem. The Holy Spirit of God does that. That's the bottom line. This morning, I want you to just note and see right here in John chapter 16, verse 8, the Holy Spirit's power that's the Holy Spirit, has come. He will convict the world. There's three things He convicts us of. The world of their sin, there's righteousness, and there's judgment. The Holy Spirit of God does three things that maybe He's even doing right now as we're speaking. He's convicting one of their sin, and then He convicts the world of righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's righteousness. Not yours, you and I don't have any, but His righteousness. The contrast, on one hand, the Holy Spirit shows you that you're a sinner. On the other hand, it shows you how holy God is in that great degree of separation. And then you for the fact that there's going to come a judgment someday where every single one of us will look God in the eyeball and we'll give an account for what we've done. The Holy Spirit of God converts the lost person. Notice what the Bible says. You just want to jot this down in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by the works of righteousness that what we've done, but He saved us through the washing and the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit alone does the convicting. The Holy Spirit alone is the one that can bring power and change to your life. Can I point you to the Apostle John for a second? You remember his moniker that he got early of thunder. The Son of Thunder. One day, John and his brother came to Jesus and said, "Let's call down fire on this whole town." That was a pretty loving spirit. "Let's burn this place to the ground." They called him the Son of Thunder. He was so explosive. His anger was so out of control. And yet one day at Pentecost, the Spirit of God indwelled the Apostle John, and his name was changed. The moniker was changed from there on. It was John the Beloved. Who produces that person? The Holy Spirit of God. Has your life been changed? Is there a change in your life since Jesus has come in to your heart? My pastor growing up, Pastor Dan Wingate, he'll be here this year, and he just recently retired. He'd always say a phrase that's kind of stuck with me, and I've thought about it many years, and even to the place I would write it and share it with you this morning. He'd say, "If nothing has happened in your life after you walk down the aisle, then nothing happened in your life before you walk down that aisle." Now, it's really I think a little more simple-minded in the fact that how do you get hit by a Mack truck and not know it? How does Jesus come and invade your soul and you not know it? I mean, He's changed. The Holy Spirit of God does that. You may not be all that you want to be, but if Christ is in your life, if the Holy Spirit indwells in your life, then there is a basic difference in your life, to a degree you can point back and say, "This is not of me. This is the Holy Spirit of God that has produced this change." By the way, while we're in the neighborhood again, the Spirit of God doesn't bear witness to the Spirit of God. I always get leery of anyone that comes along and gets really hypersensitive all and just starts pointing on the Holy Spirit all the time, because the Holy Spirit's, you need to read John chapter 15 and verse in chapter of the Holy Spirit not to point at himself. The whole role of the Holy Spirit was to point unto Jesus. To point unto Jesus, not to himself, not to a person, but to point to Christ. All right, so God's missionary power. We're tracking together this morning. Secondly, God's missionary. I love the way that Webster's Dictionary defined a missionary as a person sent on a mission, especially a religious mission. Well, by that definition, every Christian is a missionary because every Christian here is on a mission. We are all on the go and ought to be telling others. Purpose of this power. This power was given right there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, so that you can be a witness unto me. You shall be a witness to me. The reason why God gives us each the person and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. A.T. Pearson, he once said this about witnessing. Witnessing is a necessity of a truly saved soul. A light that does not shine, a spring that does not flow, a seed that does not grow is no more of an anomaly than a life in a Christian that does not witness for Christ. I don't know how to witness. What do I say? How do I begin to communicate the gospel? Anybody ever heard of the evangelist David Ring? You ever heard David Ring? Yeah, absolutely. So extraordinary. He's just a wonderful communicator of God's word, and he had this little phrase, if you don't, just brag on Jesus. I've always loved that. Just brag on Jesus. Some of you grandparents in the room, some of you parents in the room, oh, you love to just brag on your children and your grandchildren. I like to think what Johnny Carson said years ago. When you see a new brand baby, you see a brand new baby. I mean, you think about it, they're all pretty tough looking unless they're yours, right? Now, if I see a baby this morning, it's going to be one of the prettiest ones I've ever seen. But we just need to brag on Jesus. We just need to tell. In fact, in Acts 35, Philip is witnessing to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he doesn't get all fancy with formulas and rules and regulations. He doesn't do that. The Bible just says this. Then Philip opened his mouth. And Philip opened his truly witness without opening his mouth. You can't witness with a zipped lip. You have to open your mouth. I hear some people say, I worship God, but I don't open my mouth. The problem with that is we proclaim too much of ourselves, if you take that approach, and too little of Christ. Philip said, open his mouth and began to share scripture and preached and shared unto Jesus. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I don't know what to say. Go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, I'm going to give you one line. This is good stuff. I'm excited. One line right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4. Let's do verse 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4. For I delivered to you first of all, that which I also received, this is first importance, here it is, that Christ died for your sins according to the scripture. Verse 4, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. You want to brag on Jesus? 15 verses 3 and 4, and you share those two marvelous verses that Christ died for our sins and came out of the grave according to the scriptures. And anyone who calls upon his name can be saved. I snuck in another one on you. That's Romans 10:13. But back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We are a people of missions. We are a people on the go. And it's amazing to the fact that God has invited every single one of us in Christ into his plan. But everybody can be. I tell you this, dear friend. Nobody can win everybody. Somebody to Christ. Amen? It will be the nobodies that God will use to win people to his son. Somebody once said, I want to be a somebody, but God allowed me to be a nobody so that I could share with everybody about somebody who could save anybody. Notice carefully that God has called us to be witnesses unto Christ. We're not to force or coerce or manipulate anybody into the kingdom of God. He has simply called us to witness, to tell of his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus can call the world. If he She'd tell you, down there in the Amazon in Brazil, there's the great need of Jesus to be their Savior. If you talk to Ann and Verlander and Larry Verlander in their time in Africa, they'll tell you that there is one great universal need in Africa, that Jesus would be their Savior. I'm telling you, this world, he is the need of the communists, he is the need of the capitalists, he is the need of the Republicans, he is the need of the Democrats, he is the need of America, he is the need of Russia, he is the need of the rich, he is the need of the poor. I am telling you, he is the need of every heart-beating soul on this planet. Our great God has no other plan, no other method, no other idea of how lost people are going to be reconciled unto God unless we go. God's missionary power, God's missionary people, God's missionary plan. This is the heartbeat of the text. This is the call of the text. The plan is that we go to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. This is the call of our Jerusalem. I just want to talk about our Jerusalem for a moment. You may think of our city first, and that is correct. But I want to come a little closer in on you. Someone last week said, Pastor, you were really stepping on my toes last week. I won't tell you who it was, but you were stepping on my toes. This is going to land in your Jerusalem certainly is our city, but dear friends, it is your home. Jerusalem is your home. Jerusalem is your co-workers. Jerusalem, students, are your classmates. That's who we're witnessing. It is so hard to witness from family members. I get it. I've been there. I understand that. I live that today as well. We know it's hard because they know our faults. They know our failures. They know our mistakes. But your job is to tell them anyway. The light that shines, let your light shine. Let the house where you live be marked by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you something. Are you a witness there in your home? I got news for you. If it doesn't work, if Christianity doesn't work at your home, it's not going to work anywhere else for you. If you're not a Christian, the Lord's home is going to be really difficult to do it anywhere else. As we pause for a second right there, what about your spouse, dear friend? Is your husband saved? Is your wife saved? Oh no, preacher, but I wish they were. Be a witness to them. Model for them a servant lifestyle in the Lord. Now, you're interested in me now. You're concerned about their care and the feeding of their bodies. Some are so deeply concerned that their child get into a society of honors, that they get into some sorority. But are you as concerned about your child, of their internal salvation? God pursues us. I'm just going to pull over and ask this question. I want every eye to look at me. Do your children see the fullness of Christ in you? In you, sir. In you, ma'am. Or do they just witness your life? This is a deeply probing question that really demands a verdict right now. Right now. Do your children see the fullness of God lived out in you? Or do they just have to hear about it on Wednesdays and Sundays from our ministerial staff? Are they seeing that the rich are homeless? Judea. The Judea area that surrounds us, I would submit to you, is our local nearby missions. Tyrone, Fayetteville, Fayette County, Noonan, Sonoy, Coweta, Sonoya. I don't know how it's pronounced, all right? So, start where you live. There, go out, go everywhere, and tell them and brag on Jesus Christ. I believe in foreign missions. We're going to get there in a second. I wholeheartedly believe that, but I love the way that Dr. R.G. Lee once said it. One soul is worth a thousand worlds. If we are not doing everything we can to reach our city, to reach our community for Christ, we have no right, zero right, to call ourselves mission-minded. Zero. If we're not trying to win our community here. John chapter 4, where Jesus had to go to Samaria, where Jews and Gentiles, they don't mix, and Samaritans and Jews, they don't mesh well at all, but Jesus had to go to witness to people about himself and to tell of his grace. We ought to go to every race, every tribe, every tongue. That means every African American that we need to tell the gospel to. Don't get me mad. I'll be here all day. That means every African American, we ought to share the gospel too. That means every Caucasian person that we run up against, that we ought to share the gospel too. We're talking about reaching our Samaria. It crosses. It transcends cultural barriers and every dear friends, certainly in our community, I want you to know that. I want you to know this. As long as I am the pastor of this fellowship right here, these doors will be open to absolutely anybody, because if we can't open them for everybody, we need to shut them to everybody and turn off the lights, because to reach our community, but dear friends, that extends to all the earth as well. Listen to how Jesus closed, and the end to the end of the earth, to the ends of the earth. Jesus ended saying, by the ends of the earth we should reach, to saturate this place with the gospel of grace. We've been working in Guatemala for years here at this fellowship, and I'm so grateful to God for that work. We've been in many different parts of the country serving, but you know, every year we take this Lottie Moon offering. And we put a big gospel in foreign lands. You guys ready to see what we raised? Put that up there, friends. $56,000. 277. 58 cents. Praise God, huh? Absolutely. We can support one missionary family. That we can send out a family to go reach people, to say, come to Christ. Connect to his body. Grow in his grace and knowledge. Serve the Lord through your spiritual gifts. And then military patrolman that was observing an enemy territory. It's very, very intense. They were probing through different trees, and they were looking through for the shadow of every enemy. And suddenly, just like that, a blinding flash began to fly. The cover, the young recruit crawling on his face, plunged ahead of his dying comrade. He too was shot in the process, but in extreme pain and mustering and receding strength, he dragged his friend who had died back to the unit and collapsed. And he was, why did you get shot for this man that was already dying? The recruit said, because, sir, I had to hear him say, I knew he would come. I knew he would come, even though they have no clue. But what matters is when we stand before God, God looks at us with the heartbeat of heaven, and he says, I knew you would go. I knew you would go. I knew you would go. For some today, this is going to be your first steps of going. Your going needs to be down to this altar to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Where are you? Desire to redeem you, the desire to have that relationship with you. You come at the first note of our song, you come. For others in this room, it's Jim Elliot that you resonate with. You need to been saved? Have you given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever been baptized? And dear friends, we'll put you up in front of this church, say they'd like to become a member of Flat Creek Baptist Church. Maybe it's personal renewal this morning. You need to come. Maybe it's your Jerusalem. As the Spirit of God leads, you come. I'll be standing right here. I'd love to minister to you. Our staff is willing and able to minister to you this morning. You come as the Spirit of God leads. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I sense and I know in this place right now, you come, friends, you come.
To Jesus I surrender all. To him I freely give. Trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior.
Prayer of our heart, the invitation's not over. I surrender all. I had a young lady, Caitlin, this morning coming to ask Jesus into her heart this morning and to come be a part of our church. She's out with Pastor Ryan right now, so I just want you to be praying for them. I want to remind you before I'm about to pray and we're about to go, be praying for others that need to know Jesus. Pray and be a part of y'all just be seated for just a second. I'm going to keep you about a minute and a half, I promise you. Make sure you get your tickets for Johnny W. It's going to be a fun time, but a great time of ministry. I want you to watch a quick video right here of this is what, about a minute of Johnny W. This is what you'll be getting. Watch this video.
My wife and I, we work at our church sometimes still, even though I'm doing comedy full time. Sometimes we volunteer in the nursery, you know, with the babies, you know. And I don't think they should let me do that, but they do, you know. And so we were remodeling the church, you know. And they were repainting all the rooms. And then they were putting like stencil and scriptures on the walls, you know, the kind of scripture, you know. Like in the children's wing, they had like, raise up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. I was like, that's pretty good. But for the nursery with the little babies, man, we chose, I chose 1 Corinthians 15:51, which if you don't know what that says, it says, behold, I reveal to you a mystery. We shall not all...
You heard, you'll hear from him again. There's one about the talking dog. You'll just have to hear him say that. That's February 14th. Make sure you go online, get your tickets to that. It'd be a great night, a date night for you. Or if you just want to come, bring a friend. That's great too. Miss Barry, one of our senior adults, we invite you to their next meeting on February 8th at 6 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. Go by and take a look at that bulletin board. All the dates for their meetings are out there. Y'all stand with me and let's pray this morning and continue to lift up Caitlin and others that are praying right now. Father, thank you. have Jesus on our hearts with everybody we talk to. God, make this church a going church that wants to share your love with others. Give us a great day. Bring us back tonight, God. Pray for Jeremy Morton, who's going to be here tonight, preaching your word in this pulpit, God.